excuse me, Hannah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to get started with the Adam cough and so forth, even though you're the only one on. We'll see what happens by the end of that.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and mute.
Please join me in saying the Adam cough. Another koach, gedula chimincha, tatir, serura, alephet gimel, yutat sadi, kabel rinat, amcha sagvenu, Taharenu no ra Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kivavat Shamrem Nun Gimodalad Yudkaf Shin Barchem tacharem, ratame sitkatcha, tami gamlem. Betet resh, sadi tat gimel. Chasim kadosh, berov tuva, nael adata. Het kuf bet, tet nonayan. Yahid ge'e, lamcha p'nei, zohrei gidu shatach, yud gimolamet, hei zayan hu. Shavatenu kabel, ushmatziak atenu, yodea talumot. Shin Kufav, Tzadi Yudta. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rahum V'chanun, Erech Apayim V'rav Chesed V'emet, Notzer Chesed L'alafim, Notzer Avon V'apesha, V'chata'a V'nakei. We will now connect to the Zohar. Through the verse from Parasha Yitro, it's Pasuk 29, and the energy of this Pasuk is that of certainty. Rabbi Abba Amar, Bekam Atar, Tan Nan Dekucha, Berichu Koma De Aved, Leila Witata, Kola Ihu. Kishot v'yovada dikshot v'leit lach mila v'alma divaye parnash ludachya le'yaminaya Kulan haga beya, kulana beha kulhu. Ovada dikshot, inun wikola, histeris bi alma. We'll now connect to the year 5778 and its energy of bowing to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. The first verse of the two verses that have this energy in the Tanakh is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. V'yishkav Amnon, v'yitchal v'yavo. Amelech liroto vayomer Amnon el hamelech pavo natamar achoti ut lavev leene shete levivot beevre miyada. The next verse, the second of the two verses, is Psalms chapter 32, verse 5. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tavshin Ayin Chet. These letters are separated by three letters each. Chatati odiacha v'aloni lo kisiti. Amarti ode ale peshai ladonai yohewai we ata nasata alon chatu elam. There are also two verses connecting to the year 5777. The mystery of that year, 5777, is the year of the goat. The first verse that we see is from Lamentations, chapter 3, 52. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to create Satsukiya, which translates as a feeling like brothers. When we take the final letters, we get Bir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that is connecting to this year of the goat is from Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Again, concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tavshin Ayin Zion. These letters are separated by seven letters each. The verse is as follows. Kim ba'adonai yohewahe Elohechem tadebaku kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh. The year 5776 is the year of the pause that refreshes. Again, there are two verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim ha'yulimat v'lo yachlu lehashib et kol ha'olot Vayahaskum Achechem Halevim Ad Kelot Hamlacha V'ad Yitkad Shu HaKohanim Ki Halevim Yishrei Levav להתקדש מהכהנים. When we take the first letters of these 25 words, we're able to permute them into 8 names of God. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Lalahei Wawawa, Yolayo Alame, Hey Hey Hey, Aka'a, Rekaha. The second verse that we study connecting to this energy of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bidhu ba'adonai yohewahe ade'ad ki bi'ah yohe adonai yohewahe tzur olamim. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are 3 verses in this that connect to this energy. The first that we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Uru udu mikol hamachavoyim asher yitzabe sham wishaltem elai el nahon. V'halakti itchem v'chayayim yeshno v'aretz v'hipasti oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. And the third verse comes from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. K'gelo l'anesa yoved ro'al yomru ayo. The year 5774, with the energy of peace in the Middle East, has only one verse connecting to this energy. It is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. L'sam ti makom le'ami li'Yisrael untati v'shakam ta'akta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu. Bene avla la anoto ka asher barishona. We'll now connect to the 72 names of God. We do this by saying the name of the letter of the name. Using its root vowel. Wahe wayo layo sayote alame mehe shilalahe aka akaheta ezayo alada la awahe heya yozalame behe ereyo hekome. La awa kalayo, la wa wa pehe la, nu la ha yo yo yo, me la he 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 wa, nu ta he he a, yo re ta shi a he, re yo yo awa me, la ka be wa shi re, yo he wa la he he. Go, go, kawako menu da anu yo he ame re he a yo yo za he 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 me yo ha wa wa la yo la he la a la a re yo ashi la me yo he wa he wa da nu yo. Hey, hey, she, a, me, me, nu, nu, a, nu, yo, ta, me, be, hey, pe, wa, yo, nu, me, yo, yo, la, hey, re, hey, me, ta, re, wa, me, be, yo, hey, hey, a, nu, wa, me, hey, yo, da, me, be, me, nu, ko, a, yo, a, hey, be, wa, re, a, hey, yo, may, may, hey, oh, yo, may, wah, may. We'll now connect to the 72 names of the Tzaddikim in the same manner. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a me me be shi la yo he anu a kameta he he yo anu da la ha wa he me a yo ta la me re he he yo yo he me me la wa wa ka be yo la yo wa pe nu la Nu me ha yo he wa yo yo he yo me nu he 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 wa nu yo he he shi a yo re ta shi a he re la yo a wa me la yo be wa he re Yo yo wa la he he ka ako me nu da anu yo he wa me re he a yo he da he shi he me ka ha wa wa la yo yo he sa a la a re yo a la me ta he wa he wa da la yo Hey yo shi a la me nu hey a nu wa ta me la hey pe a yo nu ko me yo re la hey be hey me za re wa hey be yo wa hey a la wa me za yo ka hey be me ka ko a la a hey hey wa Re la hey yo yo me hey la wa yo me hey me. The Tzaddikim who left today, the fifth day of Shabbat, Rabbi Chaim Dovid Chazon, Rabbi Shalom Shachna Yelin, Rabbi Arya Yehuda Lev Alter of Ger, known as the Sifat Emet from the Sefer that he wrote, Rabbi Avraham Eliezer Alperstein, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Friedman, known as the Rachover Rav, And the eighth verse of the Ana Bekoach we say in a whisper to ground all of the excess energy that may be too strong for our vessels. Today's class is available on the unique astrological times link. That's available on every Yeshem webpage under the two pictures on the right. And if you're in a mobile device, it's at the bottom of the page. When you open up the unique astrological times sheet, scroll down to where it says the holiday of Tu Bishvat. Because we only have two Sundays before that holiday arrives. And this one handout will take us two Sundays to go through. When you open it up, I'm going to give you first an unwritten commentary to give you some ideas about Tu Bishvat. Tu Bishvat, translation would be the 15th day of Shvat, of the month of Shvat. It's a holiday. It's a full moon day. It is the new year of the trees. It is the day that reportedly the sap from the new year starts to flow in the trees so that the method of determining tithing of agricultural products and animal products is based on this day. All of these things that I have mentioned are very significant as to energy. And for this reason, the Kabbalist in Shvat, approximately 600 years ago, the time of the Ari, and even before, the Kabbalists determined that there should be a Seder for this new year of the trees, just as there is a Seder in the month of Nisan, a Seder for the Passover sacrifice. The Passover Seder is about freedom. The Tu B'Shvat Seder is about the desire to receive in order to share. This comes from the full understanding of what is the energy and nature of a tree. A tree is the highest, tallest physical item in our physical world. A tree grows against gravity. Well, everything grows against gravity, but the tree grows more so, indicating to us that its energy is the desire to receive in order to share. This is the connection to Bishvat. This is the connection to the new year of the trees. This needs to be understood before we start our discussion of the Seder for the Tu B'Shvat, which is what our handout is all about. Before I start on the handout, does anybody have any questions about what I've just said? So I'm starting to read on this Tu B'Shvat Seder preparation. And please note that much of the Kabbalah is revealed in this handout, and we will discuss it as we go through it. But the first item in the list to prepare for a Seder for Tu B'Shvat is to make sure that you have all of the items, all 10 of the items that are needed for the Tu B'Shvat Seder. I'm not going to read them. They're available for you to read. We have available various recipes to prepare foods for the Tu B'Shvat Seder. If you're interested, you can send me an email and I will provide those recipes. Again, I'm not going to read the items. That's not what we're going to spend time doing. But if you are interested, they are available. Here is where we begin the teachings of the Kabbalah. There are four worlds, these worlds represent levels of creation. They represent a hierarchy of creation. The highest world we don't mention, and that's Adam Kadmon. Why don't we mention it? On one level, it's because it's too easy to make the mistake that the word Adam Kadmon, which translates as primordial man, primordial being. It's too easy to make that mistake and transpose our consciousness into idol worshiping of this concept of a man. So we start at the next level down, which is the world of Atzilut, which translates as emanation. This is a world where the higher souls generate from. Next is the world of Briah, the world of creation. And this is also a world where souls come from. The world of Yetzirah, the world of formation. And this is what we call heaven. But we need to realize that there are levels above what we call heaven. Yes, we all want to get to heaven. It's a promised place, a place of a lot of goodness and positivity, a place that we would like to see brought into our world, onto our world, our physical world. But always remember, there's more. There's things that are above heaven. And the lowest world, the world of action, known as the world of Asiyah. And this is our physical world. Yet there is a different connotation to this. Because in the Kabbalah, where we are taught that God created this opposite this, there are these four worlds of positivity. Then there is our physical world, which is a battleground. And then there are four worlds of negativity. And they're like a mirror image of each other, with our physical world being the mirror. And sometimes that mirror is showing a reflection of the positive world, and sometimes it's showing a reflection of the negative world. So let's read what's written here about the world of Atzilut. The world of Atzilut is purely spiritual and cannot be symbolized in any concrete physical way. The world of Briah is symbolized by 10 fruits that he neither pits on the inside, nor shells on the outside. That is, they are totally edible. They are grapes and figs, apples, etrogim, which are citrons, lemons, pears, raspberries, blueberries, carobs, and quinces. Seeds are considered edible in this system. The world of Yetzirah, the world of formation, has pits inside, but the outside can be eaten. Its 10 fruits are olives, dates, cherries, jujubes, persimmons, apricots, peaches, loquats, plums, and hackberries. The world of Asiyah has an outside shell that must be discarded, and an inside that can be eaten. Its 10 fruits and nuts are pomegranates, walnuts, almonds, pine nuts, chestnuts, hazelnuts, coconuts, Brazil nuts, pistachios, and pecans. The symbolism in brief is as follows. Those parts that can be eaten represent holiness. The inedible parts, that is the pits or the shells, represent the impure, and the shells serve as protection for the fragile holiness inside. Now, let me rephrase what I said. The symbolism, in brief, is as follows. If it can be eaten, it represents holiness. If it is a shell that is used as protection for the fruit that is inside, underneath the shell, it is considered somewhat holy. And if it is inedible, not eaten, not capable of being eaten, then it is the impure system. There's a lot concealed in that paraphrase, all three of them. If you are looking to get all of these 30 fruits, don't worry about it if you can't find them or if it's too expensive. That's part of the process. Just know these fruits represent these worlds. Next, you see a matrix. We will take this matrix as we go through our Seder and our preparation for the Seder and the questions that we should be asking during the Seder. As we go through this process, all of those items in the matrix are in that process. The matrix serves as a shortcut if you are looking for a specific place within the Seder to get items, to prepare for, to contemplate. That's the purpose of the matrix. Now we're going to the historical background for the holiday and the Seder. What is Tu B'Shvat? We will give some meanings of the holiday below that deal with the history and the surface meaning of the holiday. First, the essence of the holiday comes from the essence of the Hebrew word tree. There are two words in Hebrew, etz, ayin tzadi, or ayin tzadi tzofit, and elan, Aleph Lamed Yud Nun. To my knowledge, the words are interchangeable in modern Hebrew. Yet we know in Biblical Hebrew there are no synonyms, so these words must have two different meanings. When we look at the Gematria 8s, its Gematria is 160, or 161 with the Kolel. 161 is the same gematria of the 13th attribute of mercy called Vinake. This word connects to cleansing. We know the 13 attributes connect to the world of Atzilut, as they were taught to Moshe as the method of cleansing the sin of the golden calf. Actually, we need to understand that there are two sets of 13 attributes of mercy. One is given by the prophet Micah, and the other is in the Chumash, in the five books that we are more familiar with. This is the lower level. It is the level of Zeronpin, the level of heaven. It's very high in that it is above our physical world, but it is in heaven. And it is a cleansing mechanism. It is a protection mechanism. But its energy flows from the higher level of the 13 attributes, which is in the world of Atzilut. The word Ilan has the gematria of 91, which represents the unity of the physical world and the world of heaven, the world of the spiritual, the world of Yetzirah. What creates unity between different items, disparate items, like spiritual and physical? It is the tool called binding by striking, or it's called restriction in some locations, some groups. In essence, we learn that the tree is the tallest living thing on the earth. Why does it grow so tall? It is to demonstrate to us that its essence is binding by striking. That is the energy and essence that we are able to connect to from the holiday of Tu Bishvat, is the desire to receive in order to share. Tu Bishvat is the name of a holiday from the Jewish calendar. The name Tu is spelled Tet Vav and represents the number 15. The same Shavat, the name Shavat, is the name of the 11th Hebrew month, which is fifth, counting from Tishrei and the high holidays. In the Talmud, it tells us that there are four new years in the Hebrew calendar. The first of Aleph, Nisan, is the new year for kings. It's the reason that in the Bible, the years are not easily calculatable. Because a king could have been appointed in the month of Shvat. That's his first year, but his second year occurs 2 years late, 2 months later, when the first of Nisan came in. This is the new year of the kings. The second of the four is Rosh Hashanah, and is in the month of Tishrei. This is the new year for human beings, not just children of Israel, but every human being. The third is Tu Bishvat, and is the new year for the trees. And the fourth is the new year for animal tithing, which occurs on the first of Elul. Now, I could have numbered these in a different order. I'm numbering them in the way that the Talmud gives them to us. The new year of the trees is actually the same aspect of the new year for human beings. It's judgment. The new year for animal tithing is the same aspect as the new year for human beings. It's judgment. And the new year for kings is the same aspect as the new year for human beings. On one level, a king is a human being and he gets judged on Rosh Hashanah. On another level, he is a king and has no free will. Yet he is judged by how he leads his people. And that takes place on the first of Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. New Year's represents times of hope, times of new beginnings. It also represents times of judgment and times of many other aspects, as we will discover. During temple times, more than 2,000 years ago, Tu Bishvat marked the beginning of the new year for calculating Maserot, tithing. In that period of time, we followed the sabbatical cycle of 7 years, as we still do, or I should say the universe still does. Whether we do, that's a personal choice. Our Maserot donations, our tithings, went to the Levites, and depending on which year in the cycle, part of that went to the poor, and part to a festive celebration in Jerusalem. Remember, we all went to Jerusalem 3 times each year. Let's explain a little about tithing and the meaning of Maaser. Today we refer to this as tithing because it relates to the word Aser, which means 10. In the Torah, when Jacob awoke from his famous dream of the ladder, he vowed to give Hashem 10% of what he had if Hashem fulfilled his promise. At least that is what the surface story says. Actually, tithing comes from the adage that Malchut, the lowest Sephirah, has no light of its own. The Kabbalists explain that, therefore, not everything we receive from Hashem belongs to us. 10% has no light for us. Therefore, we either give it away by choice, in which case it will be returned to us, or the universe will tax it away. Examples of this tax are large medical bills, and this is especially true in this current Western world. Other forms of this tax are legal fines, speeding and parking tickets, and the like, as well as time that we spend at red lights or stuck in traffic, times that we don't feel productive. This is the universe taxing our time. Why do we observe Tu Bishvat with a Seder? The mystical sages of Safat, foremost among them is Rabbi Isaac Luria, Rabbi Chaim Vital, and many others, the codifier of the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Joseph Caro, many, many others. These rabbis in the 16th century understood Hashem as a tree of life, whose roots were in the heavens and whose branches extended toward earth, bringing all of us life and blessing. This was a holy time, a time of enhanced energy, an opportunity to partake of the fruit of the trees, and to thank Hashem for the wonder of renewed life for the universe. They organized a Seder for Tu Bishvat, at which they drank 4 cups of wine and 7 different kinds of products from the land of Israel. They ate 7 different kinds of products. These products are wheat, barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives, and dates. 5 of these grow on trees. Yes, a grapevine is considered a tree for the purpose of saying a blessing. In 1653, the first liturgy, a collection of readings and rituals for Tu Bishvat, was published in Greece under the name Pri Et Hadar, the fruit of the godly, goodly citrus tree. Although the identity of the author is unknown, it is generally assumed to have been Chaim Vital, the main student and disciple of the Ari, Rabbi Isaac Luria, the most well-known Kabbalist of Tzfat. The basic concept behind the ritual is to increase the flow of Hashem's emanations, Hashem's blessings into the world, by eating the various kinds of fruits with the proper intention. We aid in the renewal of our world from the divine tree of life. In the Salonika liturgy, the Greek liturgy, two legends are related concerning Tu Bishvat. The first states that an angel hits the head of every plant on this day, saying to it, "Grow." The second believes that on this day the trees embrace. Anyone seeing that embrace will have his or her wish fulfilled. Some barren Jewish women, believing in the power of sympathetic magic, would plant raisins and candy near trees or embrace trees on Tu Bishvat at night, praying for fertility. Young girls eligible for marriage were brought to trees where an imitation marriage was enacted, if shortly after buds were found on the tree to which they were married. They knew their turn would come soon. In some areas, the Tu Bishvat celebrations were held in the homes of families who had lost a beloved during the past year, to remind of the prohibition of mourning on that day, and also of the renewal of life from the trees being parallel to the resurrection. The Jewish people have been in diaspora, in the spreading out, for many, many centuries. So we have presented certain rituals that come from around the world. In southern and rural Morocco, the rich would invite the whole town in their homes, into their homes, and fill their hats with fruit. In Persia, there was a custom of climbing on the roof and lowering an empty basket through the chimney, which would be returned laden with fruit. In Turkey, there was a custom where each member of the family would have a special relationship with the one species of fruit. In Persia and Afghanistan, Jews on Tu Bishvat would purchase new fabrics from which clothing for Pesach would be sewn. Another custom performed in anticipation was to eat jelly made from the last Sukkot's etrog, and then to pray for etrogim of fine quality for the coming Sukkot. Do you see how these rituals relate to the desire to receive in order to share. Do you see how these rituals relate to growing against the desire to receive for oneself alone, known as gravity? Blessing upon seeing fruit trees in blooming for the first time in the year. This is usually done by the observant Orthodox sects during the month of Nisan. This is because they run to do a mitzvah, and this mitzvah is done only once per year. Since the year starts during Nisan, they try to do it as early as possible in the year. If you have not said this blessing, please do so. You may also keep this section to say as soon as possible in the new year that starts on Aleph Nisan. Here is the blessing. Baruch atah Hashem Eloheinu melech haolam Shelo kisher beolamo davar uvare vo briot tovot ve'ilanot tovim lehanot bahem b'nei adam. Translation: Blessed are you, King of the Universe, who has withheld nothing from this world and has created beautiful creatures and beautiful trees within it, so that we may delight in them. The Tzaddikim connection. The Tzaddikim are not dead. They are living beings. They may be in a grave, but that is just to conceal them and conceal their light from us, to allow us to grow ourselves. On Rosh Chodesh, and also on the full moon days of the Hebrew months, like Tu Bishvat, the souls of the Tzaddikim return to the bodies in the grave and are available to help us by providing a stronger channel to the light of the Creator. It's a good day to say a number of names of the Tzaddikim, not just the names who left this day, but all of them. And I would recommend, I'm trying to put together, but it's time considerations issues, putting together a webpage with all of the Tzaddikim available by alphabetical order, where you could say these names as part of a Torah study that you do on a Friday night. I have done that. I highly recommend it. It's an amazing experience. To experience the energy you receive by saying all of these names in order. We don't typically feel it when we say just the few names who left on a particular day, although we're receiving that energy. But when you say them in order, it's an overwhelming energy because it's just powerful. I highly recommend that you experience it. One night I will do that with you once I have that page available. Here are some of the names that I recommend that you say on this new year of the trees, Tu Bishvat. Abraham Avinu, Yitzhak Avinu, Yisrael Avinu, Hanoch ben Yered, Noach ben Lemech, Shimon bar Yochai, Rabbi Yitzhak Luria, the Ari, Rabbi Yehuda Ashlag, the Baal Shem Tov, and many others referred to as Kol HaTzadikim, the voice of the Tzadikim. Now light the 25-hour candle, Yahrzeit candles. And many people add the names of their loved ones as whenever they write light a Yahrzeit candle. There is not a blessing said, just the names of the Tzadikim and the departed loved ones from one's family. According to Kabbalah, there are four worlds as we have discussed. Atzilut, emanation, Briyah, creation, Yetzirah, formation, and Asiyah, action. The world of Atzilut is purely spiritual and cannot be symbolized in any concrete way. Learn this and don't forget this. The world of Briyah is symbolized by 10 fruits that have neither pits on the inside nor shells on the outside. They are totally edible. We've gone over the list. The world of Yetzirah has pits on the inside, but the outside can be eaten. Its 10 fruits we've mentioned. The world of Asiyah has an outside shell that must be discarded and an inside that can be eaten. And its 10 fruits we have mentioned. Another metaphorical understanding of these different types of fruits is as it relates to interpersonal situations. Entering an unfriendly or an anxiety-producing atmosphere, one is guarded, externally armored, as it were. The shell is on the outside, like the fruits of Asiyah. In friendlier surroundings, but superficial or entered with some reservations, there are more interpersonal contact and exchanges, even some degree of affable sharing. But the very private self remains surrounded by the inner shell, like the fruits of Yetzirah. And in certain special situations of deep trust and intimacy, the inner self is revealed and shared with another. At this moment of I and thou, there is no inner shell like the fruits of Briyah. Please spend a few minutes during this next week thinking about these words, and which people in your life exemplify these categories. The Kabbalah uses the Tetragrammaton, Hashem's name, as a metaphor for the four worlds. And we also use these four letters as meditative tools that allow one to travel between the worlds as well as to the worlds. During the Seder, the four cups of wine will connect to the Hashem's name as a meditative tool of unification. The first cup of wine connects to the Yud, the second to the upper He, the third to the Vav, and the fourth cup of wine connects to the final He. There are two ways for the Seder to be performed. One connects to the direct light flow of the world of Atzilut, flowing down to the world of Malchut. And the other connects to the returning light flow of the below to above, to the flow created by binding by striking. They both are correct. We will connect to the direct light as we want to start and or strengthen the flow of beneficence into our physical world. This is the end of our class. The Kavanah when saying a blessing is available on our webpage. It's available in the matrix that is related to the classes on prayer. You will find that on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. Does anyone have any questions? This afternoon at 3 o'clock, West Coast time, we will have a class continuing our classes on advanced reincarnation. At 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, Monday morning, we will be continuing our classes on preparation for the Ta'anit Dibur, the Fast of Words. At 4:30 Monday afternoon, we will have continuing our classes on the deeper Zohar for the Parasha of Noach. And at 7 o'clock Monday afternoon, Monday evening, we will continue our classes in the essays of Rabbi Ashlar. I emphasize that Tuesday morning at 7 a.m., during our preparation for Ta'anit Dibur, we will connect to the teachings regarding the Parasha of Beshalach and the reading of the Mana section of the Hebrew five books, the Hebrew Chumash. If you have any questions, please ask. Otherwise, I wish you all Shabbat Shalom. Not Shabbat Shalom, but Shavuot Tov. Not Shavuot Tov, but a wonderful day. Shalom to all.
Shalom. And thank you.
Hello. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a beautiful day.
You too. Shalom to all.
Hello. Peace to all.